Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Back-to-back conversations with any winning talent highlight today's opening hour. We'll connect first with cinematographer Neville Kidd, currently involved with Apple TV Plus's revival of Amazing Stories. Kidd joins me next live from Glasgow, Scotland. From there, we catch up with Mike Richards, co-executive producing ABC's return of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, and stepping in oversight of the top game show tandem in nightly syndication, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And after that, Phil Williams Jr., co-star of Bruh, Tyler Perry's latest series, the day after its BET Plus premiere. He's in our final half hour. Also ahead, a Chromecast replacement, Graduate gets more channels together, and our takeaway of the week. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good to have you with us on the second Monday of May 2020 for the program All About Television. We got a dynamite one for you. So stay tuned for the next 90 minutes. I think you'll be very well entertained. And it gets better if you are involved with our guests. And it's so simple. Pick up the phone, use your fingers, and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere. Your catches across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open for you if you're shy about the phone. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, you are interactive with us. And while the phone is on, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions that other people can be live with you. 46 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And Neville Kidd joins us live from Glasgow, Scotland, after these news notes. Several published reports over the last 24 hours suggest Google will replace its Chromecast connected TV device with a more versatile gadget. The device will have Android TV as its operating system, incorporate Nest brand smart home features, and launch this summer. No reply at this hour from Google officials. More networks and celebrities are on board for next Saturday night's Graduate Together TV special, honoring the 2020 high school class across America. BET, CNN, the CW, Freeform, Fox News Channel, and Fox Business Network will join ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC in running the special. The growing guest parade includes Olivia Wilde, Zendaya, the Jonas Brothers, and Pharrell Williams. Univision will simulcast Roger Together in Spanish, and Roku also will participate. Now some quickies, The Equalizer, Silence of the Lambs offshoot Clarice, and a B Positive from Chuck Lorre are CBS's first new series pickups for the 2020-21 season. More are forthcoming. Greg Daniels' new Amazon series, Upload, will re-up for a second season next year. That's after just 1 week of play on Amazon. Taylor Swift will offer a City of Lover concert hour next Sunday night on ABC. Before that special, ABC will present an at-home episode of America's Funniest Home Videos, hosted by Alfonso Ribeiro Jr. New HBO dramedy, I May Destroy You, from Michelle Cole, will premiere June 7th. Another HBO Max original tune play, Santa Inc., with Sarah Silverman and Seth Rogen co-starring, and Lionsgate producing. That was just broken in news a half hour ago. And as Rumbling's younger co-star Hilary Duff make it a series all her own? If so, will it run on TV Land, like Younger, another Viacom CBS owned service, or elsewhere? We'll have to wait and see. And that is news notes for today. My first Emmy-winning guest this afternoon won the Emmy several years ago for an episode of Sherlock on PBS. I believe that's the Sherlock that got Benedict Cumberbatch worldwide attention. In the meantime, he has done the first two seasons of Outlander, the acclaimed series on Stars, Netflix's Altered Carbon, Doctor Who, and he currently is doing the Apple TV Plus reboot of Steven Spielberg's 1980s anthology series, Amazing Stories. Joining us live from his home base in Glasgow, Scotland, an internet-ready exclusive anywhere. Neville Kidd. Neville, thanks for coming on.
Hey, great to be here.
How's Amazing Stories doing?
It's doing great. It's getting great reaction and great viewing figures. I think everybody's enjoying escaping from the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of feedback are you getting about your work on the series and the series overall? This was in a position to be one of the big highlights of the early schedule of Apple TV+.
Yeah, no, I've gotten a great reaction from people, you know, I work with, and also just family, friends, and a lot of people on Instagram and social media have been enjoying the show and getting in touch. So we've been getting a fantastic reaction.
How did you get the opportunity to be the director of photography on the series?
I think they saw Umbrella Academy, the Netflix series, which is the number two kind of Netflix drama series. And I think it's the same studio, Universal, that makes Amazing Stories, and we're making Umbrella Academy. So I think people have been talking, and that gave me the opportunity. I spoke to one of their executive producers, Chris Long, and I got the job. And next thing I knew, I was on a plane to Atlanta, heading for the studio.
Yeah. Did you see the original, which was on NBC for two seasons in the 1980s, and was that sort of your guidepost in terms of how you were going to do the photography?
I did see the originals. I did my homework, but I was using my kind of inspiration of all the Spielberg films I watched growing up. I think I was taking, you know, my version of a Spielberg show from, you know, one of my favorite films of all time is E.T., and I think that came across a little bit in Dino Man. And then I wanted to make something a little bit different for the heat, and we wanted to kind of be a bit more kind of alive and feel like you're with the characters and joining them on their journey to escape and try and, you know, win the heat and win the race.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the first time you've done an anthology series?
It is the first time. I've done Doctor Who, which is, you know, Doctor Who is very different in each episode, which has gave me that kind of experience of being able to switch from one radical style to another radical style.
Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the keys, because when you do anthology shows, you're dealing with different writers, different directors, different actors, different storylines. There's no one episode that's the same. And yet, one of the things that sort of was the overall thing about the Steven Spielberg series was NBC was it was always trying to be family friendly. It was always trying to be, you know, you didn't see, if there was violence, you didn't see the violence. It was like off screen. And it was trying to be science fiction in a way that everyone could understand it rather than just dumb it down.
Yeah, I think we wanted that from the outset, to try and be inspirational, to try and not be too down and too sort of dark in our storytelling, to be more hopeful and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And you worked with executive producers that have some experience in doing this kind of show, Edward Kitsis and Anna Horowitz, who did Once Upon a Time, which was a big success for ABC, they were on our show when they did that series. What kind of direction did they and Chris Long and the other producers give you in terms of how to tackle this?
I think they wanted, they kind of left, you know, they left us with the director. They obviously approved of our story styles. For each episode, we had to kind of pitch what our ideas were and make sure that everybody was happy. And they would then add a few changes and send us in a direction to keep it inspirational and a kind of upbeat kind of storyline.
We got Neville Kidd, the Emmy-winning cinematographer, live from Glasgow, Scotland, this half hour on Tomorrow Tell Live. His latest work, Amazing Stories, which is now in play for you on Apple TV Plus, which is available, of course, on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Neville joins, as I said, live from Scotland, this half hour on Tomorrow Tell Live. We're happy to have you aboard from wherever you are on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio on this Friday before Mother's Day 2020 here in the States. I'm Apple, with you live from wherever you are. 46 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for Neville, don't be shy. Phone in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SilentApple04 by name. Great Apple opening up next week for you here on Tomorrow Be Televised. In the first half hour, we'll introduce you to a brand new programming service that is launching on smart TV sets and smart devices 1 week from today. It's from an organization called Mike Mars Entertainment. We've got the co-owners, the Mark Smith and Michael Lewis Jr. We'll also have the creative writers of one of their flagship shows off the bat called Reverse. His name is Jermaine Collins. You'll meet him as well. And then in the second half hour, we got a bigger radio exclusive. The Peabody Award-winning co-creator of Arthur Black, Graham Mattson. He's the executive producer of one of the long-anticipated series of Recent Memory Anywhere, Snowpiercer, that premieres next weekend on TNT. The folks from Mike Marzo Entertainment and Graham Mattson from Snowpiercer, they're all live with us next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, versus three shows we're doing next week, right here, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now, so far, what's been your favorite episode to do on Amazing Stories?
I really loved doing the heat. The heat was fantastic. And I really loved, we kind of wanted to make it feel a bit like a Western, that they were on a journey. And I loved giving that kind of feel to inner city. And I loved all the kind of camera tricks we used on it. And I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's one of the best drone shots I've ever done in my career, which is when one of the main characters comes out of the church. And it's phenomenal. And they managed to drive the drone underneath wires and over, and it was when you see it, it's fantastic.
For those of you who haven't seen that episode of Amazing Stories, talk about what the heat's about and who's in it.
The heat is about two girls who are trying to escape from the kind of their kind of city life and win a big sporting event. And again, I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's a few things that happen along the way, and it's how people try and kind of fulfill their ambitions.
What did it bring out for you in terms of how you use the camera? You mentioned that you did a lot of interesting things with the camera this particular episode, some of which I would guess you may have done for the first time.
Yeah, we did a lot. We broke the fourth wall. We had the actor looking straight into the camera and kind of coming into your TV set. So there's a point where she's getting frustrated with what's going on. And we had her on like a big rotating turntable in the middle of the road. And we had her coming into the camera. And we used a lot of drones. We used a lot of cameras, little kind of Sony A7 cameras that we ran with the characters. And we did a lot of in the car chases. We gave stuntmen the cameras to try and avoid the cars hitting them. So we had a lot of exciting action. And it was good fun. The whole episode, we tried to keep it handheld, fast-moving, and exciting.
Mm-hmm. For you, what was the toughest Amazing Stories episode to do?
I think that was the toughest one because we were outside a lot. We were doing a lot of night shoots. So I think that's the thing where you're trying to keep everybody kind of, you know, keep the energy levels high. And you want to keep everybody kind of, concentrating and keep the storyline moving. And I think that was the toughest thing for us, is working late into the night all the time.
Mm-hmm. Would you say the heat was also the most unique, or was there another episode in the series that sort of got you into a whole different direction that you never tried before in your work?
I think the heat was, for me, was the most unique one because it was quite different in style from the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And again, it'd be great to know what people think. But I think we kind of stepped away from the more traditional style of television, and we got a little bit more, it felt like it was the action was happening in front of you.
Yeah. Who were some of the directors and writers that you worked with on Amazing Stories?
That was Sylvain White. So we came together on Amazing Stories, and then I actually worked with Sylvain on season 2 of Umbrella Academy as well. We did the opening episode, which is coming out in the summer. Mm. And Susanna Fogel was the director we worked with on Dynoman.
Mm. Susanna, by the way, is really a super up-and-comer in the world of directing. She is. I've seen her work in other places, and she is really, really good. And I'm behind.
She's fantastic. A fantastic director.
Mm. And I have a hunch that she's going to direct her own series at some point in a big way. You just get that feeling.
No, she's very talented.
Mm-hmm. Since you mentioned Umbrella Academy, that's another one that you're best known for, and this is your second season with it. Why do you think the show ended up the way it did, where it was one of the top new Netflix series of last year, especially with the kind of cast it had, a very different kind of storyline? Of course, I had Mary J. Blige, who is, as we all know, a brilliant multimedia entertainer, singer, songwriter, performer, and now actress.
I think it's the story. I think the story, Steve Blackman, the showrunner, who I worked with in Alter Carbon, he was the showrunner of Umbrella Academy, and his writing is fantastic. And I think it's the story, because if the viewers believe the story, they're going to run with it and stick, you know, and be loyal to the series. And we were the number two Netflix drama. I think we got like 45 million viewers, only, you know, second to Stranger Things. And I think his writing and then the style we added, people loved it, and they just couldn't get enough of it.
So how does that take you into the second season? What can we look for in terms of the kind of storylines and also your approach to a sophomore run of a season? And you've had this before because you did the first two seasons of Outlander, which has gone on to become a great series on Starz. So you've had experience with a second season of a show. What do you, when you have that second season assignment, what do you bring out of the first season to take into the second, and how do you try to expand the cinematography language of a series?
Yeah, I think the great thing is, because of the success of season one, it's a big challenge, because you've got to be better than season one. And without giving any spoilers, we're better than season one and season two. It's going to be fantastic. We've upped it one more, and that's, you've got to think of a new way of doing it, and I think we've done it. And when everybody sees it, it's going to be a huge success.
Talk about when
it's difficult
when
to talk about
it,
because I can't mention too much, because it's, you know, it's yet
totally
to come
understand.
Out.
And I have to say, the series did, for Netflix and for everybody, did far better than expected. I mean, that is it's an amazing result, how that first season just became a phenomenon. And it seems that Netflix has this, is getting it. And it looks like for Apple TV, they're starting to get like amazing stories. Becoming Jacob, Ascending Jacob, you know, their latest series is also getting a phenomenon status. Little America, which I think is a fantastic anthology, like Amazing Stories. It looks like that may be up for a Peabody Award next year. We'll see if it gets some Emmy nominations this summer. But it looks like Apple TV, going back to Amazing Stories, it looks like Apple TV is finally hitting its stride. Apple TV Plus looks like it's finally hitting its stride.
Yeah, no, they're making fantastic stuff. You know, For All Mankind, I loved that. It was a fantastic series.
I did too. I thought that Ron Moore did a wonderful job with that program, and I'm hearing great things about what the second season is going to do.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for the second season. It's just a shame that everything, all production, has gone into like pause mode, because it's going to delay everything a little bit. You know, that's only going to be the downside for production wise. So everybody's desperate to get back into production.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a bit, but first, how did you break into television? How did you get your career started?
I went to film school at Napier University in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and I always wanted to make movies. Ever since I remember watching Jason and the Argonauts and James Bond when I was a kid, and I thought, I've got to do this. And then watching Doctor Who on television, hiding behind the sofa, I had to get involved in it. I had to make TV and film somehow. And it was always a childhood dream growing up that I was going to somehow manage to get into it.
And was Doctor Who your first assignment?
Doctor Who was one of my big sort of UK shows, because I was in Scotland. I was working on Scottish productions, and I'd worked with Marcus Wilson, who did Life on Mars, and he went on to do Doctor Who and then took me to Doctor Who. And I went down to Wales where they shoot Doctor Who, and that gave me, you know, the break. And then I jumped onto Sherlock, because Stephen Moffat is the showrunner for Doctor Who and Sherlock. And Sherlock gave me a big international audience and got me noticed. And that's when Ron Moore was a big fan of Sherlock and got me onto Outlander.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the fact that you won the Emmy for that show, for an episode of that show, his Last Bow episode?
Yeah, I loved that episode, and it was a fantastic episode. And we basically, again, we made a kind of spinning rig where we could slow down time in a kind of matrix fashion without having the cost of all the, you know, using 200 cameras like they did in the Matrix. We made a rig that we could spin a slow motion camera for the first time, and we used it, and it was a fantastic effect, and, you know, and I won an Emmy for it.
You're hearing Neville Kidd. He is currently the Emmy Award-winning cinematographer on Amazing Stories, one of the brand-new series that has started in the last couple of months on Apple TV Plus, available, of course, on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, along with Apple TV. And then we'll join us live from his home base in Glasgow, Scotland, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Allen with you live from New York. A few more minutes with Neville this half hour, so be in the action. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We have a special 90-minute edition coming your way next Wednesday here on the program. It's May 13th. We'll kick it off with the co-star of the brand-new Hulu animated series from the Rick and Morty gang, Solar Opposites. Mary Mack will be with us, and she's our lead guest. And then we'll explore a new network that started this week on smart TV sets and smart devices that is aimed at learning us all about what things are at with cancer and how we can survive it. The service is called SurvivorNet TV. You'll meet the former broadcast news producer-writer, Steve Alperin, who put it together. He's the chief executive officer of SurvivorNet TV. And have people tune in. If you know anybody that has cancer or is dealing with it, have them tune in. It could be a lifesaver. And finally, also joining us as our final guest will be from the brand-new HBO miniseries based on his best-selling novel, I Know This Much Is True, starring Mark Ruffalo in what could be an Emmy-nominated double performance, the author and executive producer, Wally Lamb. That's all coming your way Wednesday, regular time, 3:30 noon Pacific here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's it like for you, Neville, as a cinematographer based in Scotland, to do both programs in and around your neck of the world, and also here in the United States?
I find it's a real honor for me to be able to jump around the world and film in the States and in Canada, Australia. It's one of the real perks of being a cinematographer, because you can jump into other cultures where you're essentially a guest in their cities, and I love it. It's fantastic, and you get to meet all the new crews, and you learn a lot from other productions and other crew members, and you take that knowledge and spread it around the world. And I think it's a real honor, and I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, where did you shoot Amazing Stories? Did you do any in the United States? Did you in Canada? Where did you go to film?
That was all shot in Atlanta.
Mm.
So we used Atlanta as a backdrop for, I think, like the heat was set in Oakland. So it was a perfect kind of backdrop for that kind of inner city kind of feel.
How do you like being there? It's really become a hotbed, pardon the pun, of production activity, both for TV and for film.
Yeah, and I think it's a fantastic kind of hub of excellence. I think a lot of crews are all going there because there's so much work in Atlanta. So a lot of crews are moving from all over the States and centering and basing themselves in Atlanta. So, you know, I had a most fantastic crew. Brian Nordheim was my operator. He was fantastic. And he, you know, he basically works out of Atlanta. So I think it's great that there's now a kind of another hub to, you know, to L.A. that can have a huge production.
When do you think we are going to see TV production resume? In your neck of the woods, here in the United States, what's your sense about what's happening?
I kind of think it's hopefully we'll be back maybe in July. I think what they've got to do is work out a very safe way to protect everybody until they get a vaccine. I think once the vaccine's sorted, then everybody can go straight back. But until then, we have to find a way to work with a safe distance in mind and keeping everybody protected. And I think if that's the case, we maybe have to test in the mornings. And if you've got a cold or a cough, you just can't come to work that day.
You mentioned earlier that we can look forward to your work on the second season of The Umbrella Academy coming up soon on Netflix. So what other projects do you have in the hopper?
The next one is Umbrella Academy Season 3. So that's the big discussions at the moment. So fingers crossed we can get back to production and we can all get back to filming. So that would be in Toronto if that goes ahead.
Mm-hmm. I have a hunch. It's a pretty good deal. And have you heard whether Apple TV Plus is going to bring back Amazing Stories for a second season?
I've heard nothing yet, but you know, fingers crossed, you never know. I think with the reaction from all the audience and the press, you know, it stands a good chance, but we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, now before we let you go, about your career so far? You've had the opportunity to do a lot of genre television, whether it's mystery genre with Sherlock, whether it's adventure drama with Outlander. science fiction with altered carbons and travelers, and now Amazing Stories, Umbrella Academy. You've done Doctor Who. Do you mind being pegged as a genre cinematographer, or do you want to later on, let's say, try straight drama, straight comedy, do other things?
Yeah, no, because the show I was just working on before the lockdown happened was an Apple show called Suspicion. So it's a contemporary drama. And I really enjoyed doing that because it was like going back to my roots again. It was like what I started with. You know, it was set in London in present day, and it had a real energy to it. And so it'd be great to see what people think of that one when it comes out. So I did the first two episodes of Suspicion for Apple TV.
And that'll be coming on Apple TV Plus later this year. But in the meantime, catch Amazing Stories. That's the show that Neville Kidd did a lot of the work on as cinematographer, direct photography. It's on Apple TV Plus, available on most smart TV sets and most smart TV devices. And for more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.apple.com/Apple TV Plus. That's www.apple.com/Apple TV Plus. Amazing Stories playing right now. And by the way, in case you're wondering, yes, they do use the original John Williams theme and the opening title from the 1980s version of Rob Lazo Associates. It was actually great then. It's still great now. Check it out if you haven't. Amazing Stories. Great, great show. Neville Kidd, the cinematographer on that program, and so much more. Any award winner for Sherlock. Thank you again for joining us from across the pond in Glasgow, Scotland. Congratulations on Amazing Stories. Good luck with the new season of Umbrella Academy coming up on Netflix and your work to come. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
No, a pleasure. Thank you very much. And stay safe.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Neville Kidd, everybody's cinematographer on Amazing Stories, joining us live from Glasgow, Scotland. More tomorrow, Caroline is coming your way, but first we have some words from the fine folks our sponsor, Audible.com. You know, coming up soon on CBS All Access is their new dramatization of the classic Stephen King novel, The Stand. But if you don't want to wait for CBS All Access to do their thing, you can hear what that novel is all about, how, with a trial run with Audible.com. And it all starts by checking out audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. All you got to do is sign up for that one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised, and guess what? You get 3 audiobooks for the trial of 1. And 2 of those audiobooks come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It's original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. And in this coronavirus situation, believe me, there's nothing like hearing something that can help you transform the way you hear the world. It's a great gift for you or someone you love. And it's a great gift for Mother's Day, too. It's not too late to get involved for that. So remember, if you want that trial offer, 3 free audio books, 1 month trial, great customer service, Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Well, go to audibletrial.com/televised before the end of today. This is Tamami Televised. We are the program All About the Two. Happy to have you with us wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and Tuner Radio. Back into the edition, wrapping up your week. If you have questions or comments for our guest ahead, make that call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you're new to listening to us, well, we'd like to invite you to check out our recent episodes. All you got to do is go to our homepage anytime you like. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we're also available 24/7 in podcast form. Just go to iTunes, Apple TV Plus, or Apple TV, also Speakers Podcast app, and, of course, TuneIn.com and iHeartRadio.com. In the latter two sites, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com, put Tamami Televised in the search bar, click, and you are in. So check us out anytime you like. We're available with all of our episodes over the weekend, and we do appreciate listening anytime, day or night. When we come back, our second back-to-back Emmy Award-winning conversation with Mike Richards. He is the master of iconic game show executive producing, coming off The Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal. He's now doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Jimmy Kimmel on ABC Thursday nights. And he soon will be doing Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. So join us live from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet. www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com. Together, reaching over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel, the latest reports on what's going on with that pandemic worldwide, plus original podcasts and other original material. Stay in the know about what's going on with this epidemic on the Coronavirus News Channel 24/7 at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more Frothy Televised 90 edition coming away on the second Monday of May 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 43 at the top of the hour. If you have questions or comments for our guests in the hour ahead, well, don't be shy. Be interactive. Call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. My next Emmy Award-winning guest may be the master of executive producing iconic game shows. Last September, he created completed a big decade of doing two of them at the same time, The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal on CBS. He is currently one of the executive producers of the new Jimmy Kimmel version of ABC's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Thursday night at 8 p.m. on your local ABC station. And this fall, he becomes the executive producer of two more iconic game shows, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. It is a pleasure to have back with us after too long a time. And joining us live from Los Angeles, Mike Richards. Welcome back, Mike.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Same here. And first of all, congratulations on Millionaire and how it is doing. How did you get into play with Jimmy Kimmel and Michael Davies and that whole crew?
Well, Michael Davies and I have been friends for a long time, and he actually produced the version of Pyramid that I hosted for GSN. So we got to know each other then. We'd always stayed in touch. And he is part of the Sony team, as I am now a new member of that team. And we were, I mean, it's the most Hollywood of meetings. We were having coffee, and I said, hey, what's going on with Millionaire? He said, I think we're going to do it. I said, I'd love to work with you on it. And he said, great, let's do it. And that was the beginning, middle, and end.
And it seems like this beginning and middle and end is like full circle for you. It's full circle with Jimmy Kimmel because it takes him back to the world of game shows where he first got his big claim to fame with co-hosting with Ben Stein and Win Ben Stein's Money, the first cable game show to win an Emmy Award, won six of them during the course of its run. Did you get that sense of like camaraderie with everybody coming back and in this iconic game show world of Millionaire?
Yeah, there really was. So what's even more interesting is that Michael Davies, the executive producer of Millionaire with Me, was the one who put Jimmy on Who Wants on Ben Stein's Money. So it was like he was the one that was like, hey, I think this guy's going to be huge. They've stayed very close friends throughout the years as Jimmy has obviously, you know, become one of the biggest stars in the world. And so the joy that they had was getting to work together was exciting. I think Jimmy was the one that was really dying to do Millionaire. And when you have a talent at that level pushing for a franchise that's that huge, that's how it ends up on the air, and it ends up on the air about as easy as any production I've ever been on. So, yeah, there was great excitement with the staff because much of the staff had been a part of one of the iterations of Millionaire. In fact, I think I was one of the few people on the staff that hadn't worked on a version of it. And so there was great camaraderie that way. There was a great information exchange, you know, over 20 years of making different versions of Millionaire, including with the international group. So it was really fun. And then I will say this, the moment when Regis came on the set and they did an interview with Regis and Jimmy, it was one of the coolest game show moments of all time because I think Jimmy was pretty much the only one that Regis would have signed off on to host it.
How fast did this version take shape, given the use of the celebrities and especially the fact that you had to do this without an audience?
So lots of parts of that. First of all, the show, we had been talking to ABC for 3 years, I think. And they said, yeah, we really should do that for the 20th anniversary. And then you know, so it would get sidetracked and all the crazy things that happen in TV. And then I really believe that the success that it's enjoying in England with Jeremy Clarkson hosting it really kind of set things in motion. It was a natural fit to celebrate the 20th anniversary, and it got going. And then as far as when we got the green light, it was incredibly quick. It was after the first of the year that we got the green light, and we were taping in March, and ended up being one of, if not the last, television show produced in town. So the original plan was not to do it without an audience. And I believe as of when we taped on a Friday, on Wednesday, we were still having an audience. And about midway through the day on Wednesday, we thought, you know what, it's not the right thing. We need to not have an audience come. But it was down to the wire that much. We were rebooking. The plan was always to have celebrities, but obviously celebrities got very nervous about coming on, which is understandable because it's hard to remember. But and we taped March 13th, 14th, and we were supposed to tape on March 15th, and we didn't end up taping. On the 15th, we got closed down. But the world was coming apart, and the news was changing incredibly fast. So celebrities were dropping out, then coming back in, and then dropping out. And, you know, so it was a very unusual production that was supposed to be 3 days long and it ended up only being 2 days long.
It seems that Jimmy and the celebrities that did come on really took things in stride, that they could even make fun of the no audience because of the virus, because of what was going on all over the place in terms of how certain things were. It seemed that they could, take it in stride and still be still make it a very entertaining show.
They really did, and you have to remember, again, that we're watching it now, it came out in April, we're watching it now in May, and the world has changed and we know it. We're much more clear on what this all means and whatever. In the middle of March, we were all clueless, thinking, are we back in 2 weeks? You know, that was when we thought we'd be going away for 3 weeks and we'd be all back to work. It really does hold up the way we shot it. And the way that the celebrities, and specifically, I mean, the reason Jimmy Kimmel is Jimmy Kimmel is he can roll with anything, and he really, he did a great job of just entertaining me. It's like me out on the floor and the crew, and that's the audience, that's who's clapping and laughing, and that's who he was entertaining, and he did a great job.
The new version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, who also is an executive producer on the show, is now on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. We've got one of the other executive producers, Emmy Award winner Mike Richards, is with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smarty Televised. And soon he'll be stepping into the new executive producer role on Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy with new episodes, keep your fingers crossed, this fall in syndication. Mike Jones is live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sign up, we'll be live from New York. Questions or comments for Mike? Let them roll, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0419. Again, coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll preview a brand new phoning service that premieres Friday on Smart TV sets and Smart TV devices 1 week from today. It's done by an organization called Mike Mars Entertainment. We've got the co-owners of that project, Lamar Smith and Michael Lewis Jr., and we've got also the creator writer of one of the flagship shows you'll see on that service called Reverse, Jermaine Collins. And then another internet radio exclusive, Graham Maxon, the Peabody Award-winning co-creator of Orphan Black on BBC America. Remember that series with Tatas Madley? He is now the executive producer of an incredibly long-awaited series that's taken years to get on. That's Snowpiercer on TNT, premiering next weekend. Graham Maxon is with us live in our second half hour on Monday. That's all coming up, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific Monday on Tomorrow Televised. Be with us. It's going to be some fun hour. Mike, I got to tell you, I love the episode with Anthony Anderson. Anthony is one great game show contestant. You know when he gets in that hot chair, he is going to let it rip one way or the other, especially when he does not like the way the result's going.
He was amazing. And by the way, a true gentleman. We may or may not have been just a little behind in production at that point because of everything that we were juggling. And he was amazing. Came in, tons of energy. I mean, like you say, he's a great performer and also a great game show contestant. And he was in it to win it. He, at different points, I thought, oh my God, is he going to go out? There was one point where I thought he was going to go out. I think it was a $500 question. And then he fixed it. And, you know, he's the one that you want in the chair the longest because he's so great. But I love when he got frustrated. I love when he started screaming and yelling. And then ultimately when he lost, he was still funny about it and great. So he was definitely one of our favorites.
My son should put it there, a highlight reel of all the game shows that Anthony Hess has been on, where he screamed and yelled from Celebrity Family Feud to 100 Mile Per Hour taped here in New York. It would make an hysterical highlight reel to show some, you know, somewhere.
That's funny. That's a great idea. Yeah, he's a piece of work. He was great.
Yeah, and let's not forget, he does great work on To Tell the Truth, which is coming back, by the way, for a new season soon, I think later this month on ABC, and, of course, his work on Black-ish, which is just absolutely marvelous. Was there a particular celebrity that you really, aside from Anthony, that you really enjoyed having in the hot seat?
I have to say I wasn't sure what to expect with Jane Fonda. She was someone that, because her sitcom got postponed, the taping, because of the coronavirus outbreak, she was not available and then became available within a week of taping. And, you know, I wasn't sure what her knowledge of Millionaire is and or how she would play and how that would all go. And that she is not in that very high-risk category of because of her age, I guess. I'm trying to be delicate. But, you know, I was thinking, gosh, she might cancel because I don't know if I'm Jane Fonda, if I'm going to come on and do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know. And she was absolutely like, I've made the commitment. I'm coming. She came ready to go, sat down in the chair, and she's unbelievable on it. And there's a minute there where I started to look ahead to the questions ahead of her, and I thought, she could actually get the million. She was just rolling through. She was the fastest taping by far of everyone. She was so that was super impressive.
Mm-hmm. Two of the most unique wrinkles of this version of Millionaire. One is the friend who is able to work with the contestant, the celebrity contestant, for the first 10 questions. And the other is the switch, where you can switch out one of the lifelines for another shot with that friend. And how did you feel with both? Who came up with both those ideas, and how do you think they worked out?
I thought that the Michael Davies came up with the idea of bringing the smartest person they knew, it ended up being an amazing lifesaver because without an audience, which we didn't know we weren't going to have, they end up being another dimension to the conversation for Jimmy and the celebrity to go to, not just to help with the answers, but just as another kind of interesting thing as opposed to, you know, to nothingness. And so as we were sitting there, we're going, oh my gosh, nothing to do with gameplay. This ends up being the luckiest thing ever that we ended up putting this in. So I thought that played really great. It allows I think it allowed more celebrities to want to come on. And not be intimidated of doing something that would make them look bad or whatever. And so when they know they can bring the smartest person, that's fun. And it also adds another little dimension into their world, which is, you know, some people had their dads as the smartest person they know. One contestant had her husband as the smartest person she knew. So I thought that it really added especially when it was people that were very close to them, whether it was like an executive producer that they'd worked with or a writer that they knew really well, when there was that very close relationship, I thought that played, added a really nice dimension to Millionaire, which it doesn't have normally, because it usually is just the host and just the contestant. So I thought that was really great. And then as far as how we ended up swapping things out and doing all that, that was a thing that we had considered when we had to lose Ask the Audience on Wednesday before we taped on Friday. That became really the only solution was to be able to have them swap it out. And then, you know, then it was down to where's the best place to do that and what's the most interesting way. And so what it does is it adds for people that don't know, they had the option to have basically a fourth lifeline, but they had to switch one of the other lifelines out to use it. And so it ended up being another great decision point within the game, but that didn't slow down the game too much. Sometimes I think you can put too many decision points in a game and it makes it like, okay, God, I just want to play. So it was a great decision point. It was after the 10th question. You decide whether you want to keep it or change or swap out one of the lifelines or keep your expert, smartest person you know. And I thought it played great. It was a really fun decision point.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I think the show, this version has done very, very well is because it falls in line with what ABC has been doing with these summer fun game revivals of game show, which is, you know, keep it simple, don't screw up the format, just let it go the way it originally went. And the same thing here with Millionaire. The set looks fantastic. The direction is terrific. Lighting, everything. The music, of course, is back. It just seems to have that wonderful flow that really made the show what it was.
Well, and that was always Michael Davies' plan, and I think he knew in working with me on it that that would be where my instincts were, which is, you know, it morphed into a bunch of different things in syndication because of necessity. But the original format, the one that we all know and love, that's the one that we wanted to do. We were going to go back and be as true to that, given the celebrities. And, you know, obviously there were some tweaks. We had we added Ask the Host, which was a great beat to play. So, I mean, we definitely changed things a little bit and didn't just go back to the original format with Regis and all that. But we wanted it to feel the same, and the same game beats and the same rhythm and pacing and all of that. And I agree. I think that there's a reassurance in that. And by the way, ABC and Rob Mills and Tiffany Fagus are the executives over there. They're really great at bringing back these games, allowing the producers to make the tweaks, but then allowing us also to make sure that the heart and soul of the game stays intact. And that's why they've had so much success.
Yeah. Have you heard from ABC whether or not they will try, whenever we can get back with game show production, whether they will do a second series, either later this year or in 2021?
No, we haven't heard specifically. I mean, we're in the middle of the run right now. I think it's doing really well. I think we're all very optimistic, and they are. I mean, we talk to them every week, but they haven't picked it up, and nor would they. There wouldn't be a benefit to right now. So I feel very optimistic. You know, I'm not always super optimistic on pickups and stuff like that. I feel very optimistic on that pickup. It has done so well, especially they moved it to 8 p.m. on Thursday nights. And ever since it's moved to there, it has just gone gangbusters. So I feel really good about it.
Yeah, great move, by the way. Whoever who said that, ABC, great move to go to Thursday at 8. It agrees in any time slot. It's become a winner with that program. And it's a natural because also being at 8 o'clock, it's the more family-friendly the show is. The families to watch it.
Correct.
Together.
Exactly. And that's what Millionaire is. I mean, they put it on at 10. That was a scheduling because of the way their schedule laid out. But I think ultimately Millionaire is co-viewing. It's family viewing. And if it's on at 10, that's not what you're doing.
Jimmy Kimmel hosts the brand new version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire 20 years after it first made TV history on ABC on the very same network. Thursday nights now at 8 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. Mike Richards, one of the executive producers and winner for The Price is Right, and he is with us live from New York this half hour. Not New York, L.A. I'm from New York. He's L.A. this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Found out I'm with you live from, yes, New York. 46 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us on this second Friday of May, 2020, right before Memorial Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to you, Mom, and also all the mothers out there. If you have some questions and comments for Mike as we wrap things up with his segment, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Mike, what's the sense among you and the other game show producers out there about when TV production is going to come back, and when it does, how it impacts game shows?
You know, there really isn't a consensus yet. One of the things we're all working on is, you know, there's kind of two sides to it. There's how can we be safe as the production team, the crew, contestants, all of that behind the scenes, right? Before you even get onto the set, that's a whole huge thing that we're tackling. And then separate from that is how do we tackle shooting the actual shows? And, are we rejiggering sets? How big of changes are we going to do? Is it worth just waiting a longer amount of time until we can go back and do it in a somewhat more regular thing? So there's a lot of things to unpack. Everyone's safety. But this is going to sound strange, but the nice thing in all of this is there's one kind of northern star, and that is how do we keep everybody safe? So there's not a lot of like, it's not like you're wrangling over, but what if we did this or what if we did that? It's like, no, here's clearly how to keep people safe. Can we still execute our shows in that way? So we're very much working on it. You know, Millionaire, I think, would be the of all of the ones is one of the easiest to bring back, because if you don't have the audience, Or even if you had a quarter of the audience and had them every 6 feet, that's very easy to pull off. There aren't an enormous amount of – the number of contestants isn't enormous. It's easy to keep them 6 feet. They're already 6 feet from Jimmy on the set. So that's going to be easy whenever that needs to happen. Easier. Nothing is going to be easy in this, but easier. And you mentioned I am taking over Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. I actually started – my first day was this Monday, May 4th. Taking over for the great Harry Friedman, who ran both those shows for 25 years. And so we're, you know, we're actively trying to figure out what those look like when we come back. We're not in a huge hurry on those shows because it's time for our, you know, we're usually at about this time into summer repeats. We still have a month more of original programming of Jeopardy to air. So we're in good shape on those. And, you know, we want to get back in the studio as soon as we can, but we also want to make sure we can make sure everybody's safe and that the shows are still, the integrity of the shows are maintained.
Yeah. Before I go back to Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and by the way, we did a thing last Friday about Harry Friedman's final day on Jeopardy. Congratulations to what he did with both shows, Wheel and Jeopardy, over the last 25 years. It's amazing. It really is an amazing, fantastic run that he did. And I have a hunch he will be back one way or the other in the world of television before too long. But the shows you came from, Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, what's been on my mind lately is how do you do those shows, because those two programs, which you were involved with for a decade, they both are very audience-centric. You get the contestants from the audience, that energy that you get fed from Price is Right and from Let's Make a Deal, the relationship they have with the host, Drew Carey and Wayne Brady. How do you deal with that? Evelyn Wolfe, by the way, the new executive producer of Price, we had on this program earlier this year. By the way, she did a fantastic job with Price since the fall start. I got to think that she's
going
to be thinking, how do I do this?
I would imagine she is. Evelyn is a good friend of mine and was the co-executive producer on Price for 7 or 8 of my 10 years. And then previously, she was on, I had her on Let's Make a Deal as supervising producer, and she is a great producer. Adam Sandler is the co-executive producer and director of Price and the Fremantle team. You know, I know they're working on it, and I have, you know, we've texted a little bit. We've talked on the phone a couple of times. I don't know that they have a plan yet. I think like all of us, we're kind of waiting for what the guidelines are going to be. I mean, right now, even if they said, hey, you can go shoot, you really couldn't shoot those shows because of the audience component, but that doesn't mean that in September you can't go back in and potentially we won't have to have social distancing. We just don't know. I think it's too early to tell, but I think you're absolutely right. The audience is critical to both of those shows. I mean, you pick the contestants out of the audience, and that is where the energy, the sound, and the emotion comes from. So, yeah, I think that they have a challenge there. But I know that brain trust very well, and they will figure it out. Again, I don't know that they have to be in a huge hurry. I don't know, but I don't think they have to be in a huge hurry to get back in the studio, because they and if that's the case, and they're just really looking towards the next season, which is the one that would premiere in fall, they don't really have to shoot until late August or early September to pull that off. So, and as we are all witnessing, the world is changing so quickly in all of this, that's a really long way away to figure out where we're all going to be. So, I know they'll do a great job, and I can't wait to see what they do and how they do it.
Same thing. Absolutely. Mike, you've had this tremendous career of being involved with iconic game shows, and now you take another leap with Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. What are you looking forward to in taking that role on?
You know, it's interesting. I've known Harry Friedman, who you mentioned, who has just, you know, done an amazing job on those shows. And I have had lunch with him, and I said, you know, what's funny is that I have the second greatest job in television. And this is, I was running Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal. And I said, it just so happens you have the best job in television. And he smiled and went, if you know Harry, he kind of smiled and went, that's true. There's so much to look forward to. First of all, I've been on the and around the shows for the last 9 months. So I've been on the set. I've gotten to watch Alex do Jeopardy. it is so fun to be, it's an interesting thing. I went from being a fan last Friday to Monday being the executive producer of the two shows. And that is pretty exciting to be a part of. But, the thing on Jeopardy I'm looking forward to, I love working with the writers. Being around ridiculously smart, talented people is pretty fun. I have already enjoyed, I've been going through all of the clues for the second half of this season with Harry, obviously with him having the final say. And, I've enjoyed that tremendously. So that's really what I'm looking forward to, and getting to work with Alex and getting to, see him do his thing up close is something I highly recommend to anyone who is a fan. Come to, make sure you tune in, watch these episodes. He's unbelievable what he's doing. And so that's my excitement there. And then on Wheel, Wheel is such a flexible format. I think there's more things that you can do. Certainly Harry made a lot of changes and evolutions over the years. And I'm really looking forward to continuing that path on that show, is continue to evolve it. Continue to improve it as Harry and the crew and the staff have every year. Pat Sajak is one of the naturally funniest people I've ever been around. And I can't get enough of his sense of humor. So he just makes me, he is so funny and so dry. He's an amazing talent, but I'm looking forward to getting to work with him, spend more time with him. And Vanna, is, I think, the nicest person I've ever met. I'm going to go through and try to find someone that I've worked with or been around that's nicer, but I think she may be the nicest person in the world, the least affected. Here is one of the most famous women on the planet, and down-to-earth, hardworking, cool. So looking forward to that. And I think, and also goes without saying, the staff and the crew on those two shows, great. And I'm excited to get to work with them and, get to tap into their brain trust.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Pat and Vanna, it's great to see Pat back after that surgery. And what Vanna did for those several weeks while Pat was away with that surgery was just marvelous. She handled hosting that show like a trooper. I'm very sure.
That is such a hard show. That is an incredibly difficult show to host. I've hosted 5 series in my life. And I watched her do that and went, wow, that was impressive. Because you think, she's been on the set, she knows it. No, until you're actually the person that is driving the bus, you don't know how to drive the bus. And it's like, it would literally be like saying, hey, you've ridden the bus every day. You've never driven. Why can't you drive it? And she looked like she'd been driving it for years. It was very impressive what she did. And she did it with such humility and humor that it was, I'll never forget that day on set. I thought they were kidding. I came walking in, and again, I don't really have a role on the show. I'm just kind of working with Harry, and he's kind of passing things off on to me. And so I came in, and it was oddly quiet, and nothing was happening. And I thought they were kidding when they said Pat was in the emergency room, just because I was like, well, no, he's not. We're taping, it was a very strange day, and that had never happened in the 37 years that they've been taping the show. So it was quite a time, and fun to see the team react and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Well, we're not going to tape today. We'll get Vanna, gamed up to do it. And then we'll tape with Vanna. Off we go. We got to tape Wheel of Fortune. So it was cool.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing about Alex, what he has done over this last year, dealing with both Jeopardy and really dealing with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, is really a testament to him. And it's a testament to who he is, the person, who he is, the host, and however long he will stay with Jeopardy, he has everybody's thoughts and prayers. He is just incredible.
Well, and there aren't really words to describe him, because, in the morning when he comes in, and the way that man can flip a switch and walk out and do that show and do 5 episodes a day, if you were 79, and I said, great, this guy's doing 5 episodes a day. You go, that's insane. Then you go, this guy's on chemo, 79 years old, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he's doing 5 shows a day. And there's no quality loss. It's not like we're going, all right, well, we know he's getting through it. He's unbelievable. He still takes – you guys won't know this, but he still takes questions from the audience during the commercial break. He doesn't go sit down. He doesn't go do anything. He comes out, stands on the edge of the stage and says, let me answer some questions for you. It's unbelievable.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? ABC's revival of one of the great game shows of all time. You can catch it Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check your local ABC station for where it is playing. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, abc.com. That's abc.com. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, who also serves as the executive producer. Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And this fall, Mike Richards becomes, in person, the new executive producer of Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. It's on between 7 and 8 o'clock on many TV stations across the country in syndication, produced by Sony. Check your local listings for the station in your area that plays both shows, including WABC-TV here in New York. Jeopardy at 7, Wheel of Fortune at 7:30. Mike Richards, the new executive producer of Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and, of course, of Millionaire, thank you again for being with us. It is always a pleasure. Congratulations on the run of Millionaire. I hope it comes back and continues for the long run. And, of course, all the greatest to you and everybody involved with Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy for a wonderful run there.
Thank you so much. And thank you for, you know, you haven't lost a step in all of this. You're, the energy and the enthusiasm you put through and on the show is amazing. So thank you for continuing to deliver such great, great content for everybody. It really is outstanding. So thank you and stay healthy.
I will, Mike. Thank you so much. I deeply appreciate it. Take care. All the greatest.
You too. Thanks very much.
Mike Richards, executive producer of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and, of course, Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy coming this fall, right here, live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we come back, Tyler Perry's new series on BET Plus, Brooke, began its run the last night on BET Plus. We got one of the co-stars, Philip Mullins Jr., with us. He's also live from L.A., and you'll hear him after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradiospreakerandtutorradio.com. Together, reaching over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR brings you Sports Time Radio today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Sports Time Radio today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home, the Coronavirus News Channel at TuneIn.com 24/7. Welcome back to the Robbie Televised, and all those just joining us around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio at the top of the hour. Starting out with you live from New York, 46 degrees at the top of the hour. Great to have you with us on the second Monday of May 2020. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus our takeaway of the week. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, ring it in, 646-652-2906. At 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway, or catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and Tune Radio. And in our chat room, Simon Apple, Joe Foreign, and our good friend from Philly, Rick Webb, has joined us in the room. So join him, put your comments in the room, or make that call. The sooner you do, the sooner you are interactive with us. Yesterday on BET Plus, the latest original series from Tyler Perry premiered, called Bruh, B-R-U-H. It's about a bunch of 30-something men who are facing some interesting crossroads in the area of career, relationship, love, and a few other things. And joining us live from Los Angeles, one of the co-stars of that program, Philip Mullins Jr. Hello, Philip.
Hey, how you doing? It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you, Philip. What kind of reaction have you gotten so far from people out there about Brooke?
Oh, I've been hearing great things so far, which is an amazing thing. We put so much hard work into the project that getting good reviews from people is a great thing. And I'm excited to have the journey with everybody watching. You know, it just gets better and better from here.
How do you get into a Tyler Perry program? He seems to have this wonderful knack, whatever show he's working on, to come up with lots of new talent and bring them all together for a show.
Yeah, we went kind of through an extensive audition process. I auditioned for the project three times, two of which were in L.A., one of which was in Atlanta. And, you know, it was like a 5 or 6 hour process for each of the times that we were in L.A. And we're just dwindling down, and he's trying different actors for these characters. And then putting up different chemistry reads for all these characters and all these different permutations of actors. And it was a very extensive process, but he knows what he's doing over there at Tyler Perry Studios.
This is a series that is very, very big on chemistry. And it's about this whole idea of a group of four 30-something men who all want to, in a way, stay together in their class of life, but they also are facing to the crossroads I mentioned in where they want to go with their career, where they want to go in terms of a relationship, a loving relationship,
right.
a commitment. What appeals to you about the premise of the series? And let's take it from there. Let's start with that first.
It's really cool for me because I see myself in Mike. I was drawn towards Mike reading the characters the first time. Mike is just someone who I identify with mostly out of the guys. And I know that I know all these different guys in my own personal life. I know a Tom, I know a Bill, I know a Mike, I know a John. And being able to see that depicted on screen for men of color, you know, depicted in a way of just living life is a great thing. And that's what drew me to the project. It's what made me want to be a part of the project so much.
Mike is Mike Alexander. He is a
yes.
lawyer that you play. What
yes.
guidance did Tyler give you about not only your role, but about the camaraderie you have with your fellow co-stars in character?
So I was really surprised by the trust that he had in us to just do what we wanted with the characters. And Mr. Perry has a great way of, you know, he hired us for a job and he let us do that job. And he gave us a long rope of freedom and safety. And he had created a comfortable environment on set for us to go deeper and make even more specific choices and to drive home the fact that these are our characters. Whatever we would do in the interpretation of that character is what the character would do. And I just felt free to be able to express that and explore. So it was a really great time.
So how did you do that with your character?
So I am a little bit more like Mike than I would like to admit. Mike is the playboy hothead of the group, the friend that everybody has, that friend that they kind of have to reel back in. So I kind of just tapped into the fact that I was once this person in my own personal life, the person who doesn't really think about what they're about to say. They just kind of say it and they feel it and they say it in the most genuine way. And you can either hate it or you can love it. And he doesn't really take into account other people's feelings when he's expressing his own. And I think that I've been in that place in life, you know, where I was just young and saying whatever I wanted to, and you feel it or you don't, and I don't really care. And I think that it was great to be able to, you know, just have that instinctive, visceral reaction on set and be able to let that part of myself go, because that's the part of me that connected with Mike most, because I've been there.
Philip Mullins Jr. is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's one of the co-stars of Raw, that's Tyler Perry's latest comedy, now playing first three episodes on BET+. He's in Los Angeles. I'm in New York. We are here on this Friday afternoon, and happy you're aboard as well for the program All About Television. Time and half on with you at 46 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We're expecting a lot of rain tonight, maybe even some snowflakes tomorrow morning, but a gorgeous Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, and all the mothers out there. 60 degrees, I believe, is supposed to be on Sunday, and really, really superb. And hopefully we are licking this pandemic a lot faster sooner rather than later. We're happy to have you aboard. You have a question or comment from Philip? Well, don't be shy. Pick up your fingers, pick up the phone, and dial in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, timeandapple04 by name. Next week and the week after, we'll be with you 3 days of the week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 3 to 4, 3 to 4:30 Eastern Time. And next Wednesday, we have a nightly edition for you. First off, one of the co-stars of the brand-new Hulu adult tune, Solar Opposites from the Rick and Morty Gang, Mary Mack, will be our lead guest. And then we've got the chief executive officer of a new network that premiered earlier this week on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's called SurvivorNet TV, and it's all about dealing powerfully with cancer. If you know somebody who's in that boat or a family who might be in that boat, have them tune in. It could be a lifesaver for them. Steve Alperin will be our guest there. And finally, we'll have the author of the best-selling novel and the subject of the brand-new HBO miniseries of Mark Ruffalo, I Know This Much Is True. He's also executive producer on it, Wally Lamb. That's all coming up Wednesday, 9-minute edition of the Pokemon Master 2, 3:30 in the Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Philip, is this your first effort in a television series in a co-starring role?
And yes, it is. It's my first opportunity to have such a big part of a show.
And how long have you been acting for? How did your career get started?
I actually started acting in college. I always wanted to act, but it was one of those things where I told myself it'd be too hard. The industry is too far away from me. And, you know, once I got into college, I was in a subject in a field that I wasn't really passionate about, and I came to that awareness very quickly. And for me at that point, it was like, what do I really have to lose? You know, I could either do something I hate for the rest of my life or do something I love for the rest of my life. And I kind of just went for it. And I've been at it for 6 years and been very blessed to have, you know, the career that I have.
Have you done guest shots on other television series before doing Bruh?
Yes. I was on a show called American Soul, which is also BET. It depicts the life of Don Cornelius and the rise of American Soul and the impact that it had on our culture. Also, I'm on a show that we're shooting now. It's called Chad. It will be on CBS at the end of the year. Hopefully, you know, given this pandemic, we really don't know what's going to happen with the release date. But I'm super excited about that. And, yeah, I've been on NCIS, got a chance to work with Scott Bakula, which was amazing. I'm a fan of his, and being able to watch him work in real time was an amazing experience.
Before we go back to Bruh, I got to ask about American Soul and being on that program, because we had Tony Cornelius, Don Cornelius' son, on the program. Loved the show. By the way, just coming back for season 2 later this month on BET, and I'm happy to say that the showrunner, Judith Curry, used to be on Law & Order SVU. Terrific showrunner there. And I hope maybe we can get, and we'll see if we can try to get her on the program before the end of the month. But what was it like being on that program and the testament to Don's program, which, of course, was a phenomenon unlike any other?
Yeah, that was a big learning experience for me personally, because I was surrounded by all these talented people. They not only act, they sing, they dance. You know, they're funny. And I got onto that show and I had, you know, a big sense of like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be in this room with all these great people. And it was a learning experience that I'm supposed to be in every room that I walk into, and having that confidence and that that awareness was a big learning curve for me. And being on that program and talking to those people about that feeling was the best thing that could have happened for me personally in my life and my career.
And by the way, the cast on that show is marvelous. The guy who played Don Cornelius was great. And the woman who played the dance coach, Andy Richardson, I think is her name. I think she's a star in the making, and I'm happy she's back for season 2. She was really terrific. We saw an episode that she was featured in at the Paley Center for Media, where they had a special screening of the show, and she was just marvelous.
Oh, yeah, those guys over there, they know what they're doing. They're stars over there. I love those guys.
And some good directors, too. Robert Townsend directed a couple of episodes, a number of other directors.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Townsend. Those are honestly my favorite episodes to shoot while I was over there. He has a way of, I don't know about for everybody else, but he has a way of speaking to me directly and making me feel, like I was saying about Mr. Perry, just comfortable that this is my role. And he constantly told me, you have a beautiful instrument, just use your instrument. And, you know, hearing that from Robert Townsend, come on, man, that's crazy. So he really boosted my confidence and my confidence in myself and my abilities to portray a character and just use what I have.
So going back to Bruh, the thing about Tyler that is remarkable is the way he manages time to write, to produce, and direct every single one of his programs. What's it like to be in the presence of somebody who can have that gift and make it turn out so easy, where you get the dialogue, you get his direction, you go for it, and it seems to turn out so well on the screen, no matter whether it's Bra or whether it's Sisters or whether it's The Oval, both of which wrapped up their first seasons on BET or this week. And by the way, got their best audience, I understand, of the season in both cases. He just seems to have this habit of just turning the scripts out, turning the directing out, and letting it rip every time.
Yeah, I think Mr. Perry is a testament of practice makes perfect. You know, he's been doing this for a long time, and he's been doing it at a high level for a very long time. And when you walk into Tyler Perry Studios, you know you're walking within the walls of greatness. And it permeates throughout the building. You know, everybody wants to be there. The crew wants to be there. Mr. Perry wants to be there. The actors want to be there. And we all raise our game because we're under the brand of Mr. Perry, and you get to watch his journey throughout the years and how hard he's worked. So you want to just not let him down, so not let yourself down, because this is a great opportunity to have that he's been gracious in following his dreams and allowing people around him to follow their dreams. So, you know, he's a master of efficiency. He knows exactly what he wants. He comes in, he gets it done, and we're out by lunch. You know, there's no extra talking. There's nothing to talk about. We're there to work. You know, and that's what I love being around. Just a pure leader in every sense.
How does your character evolve as things go in terms of how he has to deal with life with this fraternal group of people that he deals with, and also his own career ambitions, his own view of life?
I think that Mike has been in a position in his entire life where he doesn't really have to cater to anybody. You know, he has a genuine connection with his brothers, but he sees them as grown men. And if they want to be in his life, he wants to be in their life, but he doesn't chase. You know, he's not a person who's going to cater to how you feel or what you want or what you think. And I think for the first time in his life, he's met someone who changes that about him. He has to look twice about what he's actually doing and how his actions affect the people around him. It's a tough thing for him because he really has to look in the mirror and say, these are the areas that I want to grow. And that's only the first step, you know, that's recognizing and being aware. It's the first part of the process of growing. The second part is actually executing. And I think Mike is just now getting to the point in his life where he sees where he needs to grow.
Is growing and executing the same process, or as you are seeing it, or as Tyler is seeing it, they really are two separate things? One is to grow, and the other is to execute the growth.
Yes, I do think they're two separate processes because they take two different parts of the brain. You know, you have to be objective and observant to be aware of where you need to grow. And then I think when you execute, you need to be intentional and prompt and attack the goal that you set for yourself. Because I could sit around all day and say, I need to grow here, I need to grow here, and I need to grow here, and not do anything about it. They're two very different parts of the process, and they're both equally important.
Tyler Perry's latest series for BET Plus is Broad. The first few episodes premiered yesterday on that service, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And that's where you can catch our person that you're hearing right now, this half hour, Philip Mullins Jr., live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tyler, I'm with you again live from New York, the other side of the US of A. And if you have questions or comments or many minutes with Philip, well, make that call and make it count. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up shortly, our takeaway of the week. A couple things happened over the last 24 hours and involves what we've been talking about throughout this program. When is the United States going to get back into TV production mode? I think we're very interested to hear what has happened elsewhere over these last 24 hours, and also what might happen pretty soon somewhere else in the world, too, and how it should all impact where we are. Philip, talk about Shad, which is the other series you're involved with. We've heard a lot about that series for TBS. It's supposed to be very, very big. What's the series about? What do you play?
My name is Ikrima on the show. I play the Muslim boyfriend of Chad's divorcee mother, which is kind of a lot to take in. But it's about a 14-year-old boy who is coming of age. He's just getting into high school, and he's played by Nasim Kadrad. She was amazing on set. You know, she's amazing to work with, and she's such a sweet person. So that set just was a reflection of her. And I'm super excited to get back. You know, we're not done shooting the series yet. So I'm excited to get back and to be with those guys.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you heard right. The boy is played by a woman who also played the series, I believe. And I have a hunch that she is going to become a star out of that program.
Yeah, she is a star. She had a long run on SNL. She's extremely funny. She raised my improv game. I can't say the word right now, but she raised my improv game. And you know, just watching her was something to marvel at. You know, she's just so in tune and present with what's going on in the moment.
And incidentally, it's very interesting to see in recent years how we've been able to see women play very interesting teenage roles, both boys and girls. Last year, we had the people doing Pen 15, the creators who are also the stars of the show, who played 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, and they're in their 30s. And it was an amazing portrayal, and that's coming back, I think, the second season pretty soon. So it's interesting to see the kind of role advancements that women are playing.
Yeah, I think everybody in this point wants to see something different, something that we haven't seen. And we have such talent out there, you know, that have such range that we're able to tap into that. And that's what the consumers want at this point because, you know, we've been seeing a lot of the same things over and over and over again. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to watch something different and watch it nailed by these people who have such talent. You know, so it's a great time to be in entertainment, and if not in entertainment, being able to watch the entertainment. It's a beautiful time.
So, Philip, do you have anything else lined up while we wait for the word about whether Brooke gets the second season and when Chad goes on TBS?
I just had a show drop, which was Paradise Lost. It was a Spectrum original. All 10 episodes out now for streaming. It came out about 2 weeks ago, and, you know, that's what's going on so far. A lot of the industry has stopped. So, you know, I'm ready to get back to auditioning and, you know, getting some work. But as of right now, those are the three projects that are coming up for me.
And Paradise Lost, by the way, we have the creator of that series, which is now running on Spectrum Video On Demand cable system across the country, was on our show a couple of weeks ago. That series will be running later this year on Paramount Network. We'll keep you posted when that's going to be. But if you missed the episode with our interview, exclusive interview with that show creator, why don't you check out blogtalkradio.com/televised over the weekend. I think you'll really enjoy that interview. Once again, the program is Tyler Perry's Bruh, B-R-U-H. First three episodes are now available on BET+, available on most smart TV sets and TV-connected devices. For more details about the program online, go to www.bet.plus. That's www.bet.plus. And check out Chad when that comes on later this year on TBS. More details about that, tbs.com. And again, Paradise Lost, now on Star Spectrum Cable Systems, soon on Paramount Network. Philip Mullins Jr., one of the co-stars of Brock, congratulations on the start of the series yesterday. Hopefully a great run in store like other Tyler Perry series, and we really appreciate you being aboard. Good luck with the rest of the way with that show. Also, Chad and Paradise Lost. It's been a delight having you on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your energy. You really made my day being able to talk to you, and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and right back at you. You made our day, too. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You as well.
Bill Mullins Jr. from Bruh, from Tyler Perry, joining us live from Los Angeles. And now before we go, our takeaway of the week is our regular Friday feature where we showcase something that happened this week that you should take away from. What happened this week for a takeaway has happened over the last 24 hours. And it happened both in the Czech Republic and in New Zealand. It was the same thing. Both countries are now allowing TV production to resume post-pandemic environment. And why is that important? Because it's in the Czech Republic that Amazon, for example, is shooting the second season of Carnival Row, one of the most popular series. And they're also doing the new series Wheel of Time that will be popping up either later this year or 2021. And why is this really important? Because that's where Amazon was shooting the first two episodes of its ambitious The Lord of the Rings. So now that both those countries have allowed TV production back, albeit with safety requirements and social distancing, at least you see how fast those shows and other shows that other people have been trying to do will finally go into or get back into production. And that's not all. Before we got on the air, we learned that Italy, next week, may also allow TV series to be produced again, as well as films, in their country at various locations, again, with social distancing and safety conditions. Well, what's the takeaway? It's very simple. It is time for U.S. TV production to come back. We talked about it all day long with Neville Kidd and with Mike Richards, and let's face it, it's time for it to come back. What is it going to take? It's going to take the starters, the governors and mayors of New York State and New York City and Los Angeles and California to, in my words, get off their respective behinds and work with the guilds, work with production companies and the studios to get shows back in production. What would happen if they don't or don't go soon? Let's say end of month, June, July, the latest. Very simple. Billions of dollars and thousands of jobs being lost elsewhere. So Mayor de Blasio here in New York, Governor Cuomo, Mayor Garcetti and Governor Newsom in California, let's go. Don't waste another minute. Get in touch with your guild. Get in touch with your Office of Media Entertainment, and let's get TV production back. Let's get it back safely. Let's get it back where we can finally see original, particularly scripted and unscripted production, back in business. We all could use it right around now. I want to thank all of our guests for a great 90 minutes. Neville Kidd from Amazing Stories and Apple TV+, Mike Richards from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and later this fall, it'll be Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy and Syndication, and Philip Mullins Jr. from Tyler Perry's Grill, and later on this year, Chad on TBS. Great, great people, one and all. And thank all of you for listening. Remember, three episodes coming your way, Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. We kick it off on Monday with the folks behind the new Mike Marzo Entertainment Television Service coming a week from today on smart TV sets and smart devices. On Monday, we'll lead off with co-owners Lamar Smith and Michael Lewis Jr., and we'll also Jermaine Collins, the creator writer of one of their original shows, Reverse. And our exclusive interview with Graham Maxon, the Peabody Award-winning executive producer of the new TNT drama Snowpiercer, premiering next weekend. And coming up on Wednesday, May 13th, we'll have Mary Mack from Solar Opposites, Steve Alper from Vibrant XTV, and Warren Lamb from I Know This Much Is True, premiering this Sunday night on HBO with what may be an Emmy award-winning performance by Mark Ruffalo in his double role. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcasts. They're available throughout the weekend, 24/7, at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. We love hearing from you. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimon7BT. However you communicate with us, we do communicate back because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, as well as those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune Radio, and iHeart Radio. Our production associate from BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonberg is executive content producer. And the co-founders, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's show live is brought to you by AlanRiddleBowl.com and Amazon Company. Remember, all will transform the way you hear the world. Makes a great gift for you or someone you know in these pandemic times, and still good for Mother's Day as well. Remember, for that free trial run, 1 month, and free books, AlanRiddleTrial.com/televised. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day, Ma, and all the mothers out there on Sunday. We're back with you the next day after. Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe. Please make it great. And let's all keep in mind, let's lick this pandemic once and for all. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.